I waved back and was certain it hadn't been them. Glancing around, I could see all the regulars I'd become associated with at the gym in Lame Deer, including Lonnie Littlebird and his new assistant Willard, Big Betty One Moon and her husband, and even most of the people who had been in the van that night, including Edwin Blackcattle, Leanne Chelan, and George Threefingers. Even Lyndon Ironbull and his wife Ethel were there.
Something?
What? I turned to see Henry now, looking into the crowd along with me. I thought I saw somebody.
Who?
I'm not sure. The dark eyes scanned the crowd, and I was positive he was seeing more than I had.
Who did you see?
I shook my head, dissembling. It was probably nothing. With one last glance, I turned back to the players as the buzzer sounded and they made their way to the bench. Vic, now dressed in slacks and a sweater, came over and stood by me.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to coach this game, and you're going to just keep coming over and pretending like you're coaching, okay?
Thank God. As the visiting team, the Navajo Eagles were introduced first to resounding cheers. When we huddle up, just stand there and look imposing. Throw a word or two in if you want, but don't do anything fucking stupid, like try to coach. Got it? I nodded as the announcement for our players started. The cheers were strong, and I was beginning to feel excited for our girls until they got to Jaya, who was booed. I turned to look up at the crowd, more than a little disappointed. There was some cheering, but it was drowned out by the locals. Watching Jaya, I saw her despondent look before she touched hands with the team and loafed onto the court. Once out there, she turned and looked back at the bleachers, and her face began to harden. I was just beginning to lose hope when she did something miraculous. She began to dance. Swooping her arms low to the hardwood floor, she started to twirl, stamping her feet and nodding her head to an imaginary rhythm. It was the shawl dance that I'd seen before, but this one was different. It was defiant and proud. She glared up at the crowd, twirling and flashing those dark eyes like chain lightning. The boos began fading as more and more of the Cheyennes stood and chanted along with the dance, stamping on the flooring, which was echoing in the arena like thunder. I was close and could see the tears on Jaya's face as she extended her hands to Rosie Black Wolf, leading her farther out onto the court. The tall girl paused, not knowing what to do, but the blood was there, and if she didn't know what to do, her ancestors did. And soon her feet began moving, and her arms reached for her teammate, her fingers quivering like buckskin fringe. They danced, the two of them, then reached their hands out to Stacy Kilsday and Misty Two Bears, who joined them, leaving only Winona Sweetwater looking on. The young woman wanted to join, but her self-consciousness wouldn't allow it. Jaya began singing, in a silvery voice that cut through the rhythm of the pounding bleachers, a song in counterpoint to the defiance I'd seen before. This was a song of protection, acceptance, and healing. I didn't know the song, but they all did, and soon they were all singing and began circling Winona, pulling her along with music and movement. Slowly her shoulders began to dip and weave, and soon she was dancing and singing with them as they circled the center court. The Navajo players backed away, uncertain as to what was happening. This was something magical, something poetic, something you didn't interrupt. And just like that, they stopped. It was as if the whole thing had been choreographed to the smallest detail, but they just knew it was time to play. Thunder, plangent applause like I'd never heard as the entire place stood, stomped, and cheered. I suddenly found myself laughing as I turned around and admired the crowd on both sides of the court. I glanced over at the Cheyenne Nation, at the swelling of his chest and the thrust of his chin as he tried to keep the welling in his eyes from spilling over. Vic's eyes were wide with amazement.
That is going to be a hard act to follow.
The ref blew his whistle, and the players approached their positions as we started to sit. Vic, grabbing my hand,
You stand and pace like you know what you're doing.
What are you going to do?
I sit, but don't worry. I'll call the times and argue with the referees. It's what I do best.
Boy, howdy. Rosie stood silently in the tip-off, with a strange little smile on her face. The ball launched straight into the air, and we all watched as the very tall girl lifted a hand high above her opponent, tacitly flipping it to Jaya,
who drove between two Eagle players, hell-bent for composite leather for the hoop. There was a mass exodus as both teams gave pursuit, but Missy Two Bears was just too fast, and there was no way anyone was going to catch her. She got the ball, although, as usual, didn't seem to know what to do with it. Fortunately, Jaya was the closest in the rundown, and Misty passed it to her, relieved to be rid of it. Jaya bound down the lane at an angle, and halfway from the foul line, she began to levitate, not jump, but simply climb from the earth like a meteor, with her arm rising, and then something stunning happened. She passed the ball away. As the entire Navajo team converged on her, she slipped the ball behind her back and into Stacy Kilsday's hands. Acting as if someone had handed her a grenade, the newly bespectacled girl shot without thinking, probably the best thing that could have happened. Just a quick bubble shot that whisked through the net. First points of the game. Tangled with one of the Eagle players, Jaya tumbled into the padded wall but was the first to stand. She took a deep breath and then stuck out her hand to assist the other girl, who slapped it away. Jaya held her hand out again. The Navajo player started to stand but slipped, and Jaya grabbed her hand, pulling the girl from the floor. They bumped chests and then just stood there, looking at each other. It was going to be a long night for somebody.